Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here today at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick. I'm actually looking right now at a different type of pie rather than pizza, and it's just so gorgeous looking, and it was baked by the ladies who are joined by me today, Emily and Melissa Elson from 420 Blackbirds, the pie shop, the most amazing pie shop in Brooklyn, that is. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for this beautiful pie. Yeah. It's like a piece of artwork. What kind is it? Cranberry?
This is the cranberry sage.
Cranberry and sage. I love that, you know, kind of like more savory sounding herbs mixed with fruit. I'm going to take a piece of this crust and ruin it all because it looks really tempting. And the sugar, like the big sugar crystals on the outside, it looks almost like sesame seeds. I don't know if that sounds appealing, but it does look appealing.
Yeah. Good. Gives it a little sweetness.
So you guys are sisters, right?
We are, mm-hmm. Yep.
And where are you from?
We grew up in South Dakota.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, and you just grew up making pies? Is it like your grandma's pies recipes or?
A little bit, yeah.
We grew up in a restaurant. Our mom ran with her sisters, so we kind of were following suit there. But our grandma.
That's a female legacy thing, huh?
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
The mom and the sisters, and now you and the sister.
Yeah. Well, our grandmother baked pies at the restaurant and was known for them, had kind of garnered quite a following. And so we definitely created, or, you know, it was in her spirit. So.
Mm-hmm. But do you use the same recipe?
We don't.
No,
now.
We
started out using when we first started working together on pies. We definitely tested some of her recipes and we've started doing cream pies in the shop now. And that was a big thing that she did, was a lot of cream pies.
Mm.
So we've been looking back at some of her stuff for inspiration for that. But you know, she used different ingredients and different, you know, techniques than we do, but pretty simple and stuff that's comparable. So some of the flavor profiles definitely were inspired by.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I think of like really fresh, amazing seasonal ingredients when I think of like fruit and herbs when I think of your pies.
Yeah, we try to work with fruit that's in season, which is something that our grandmother did, mostly probably out of necessity. There's not a lot of
no shipped in mangoes from wherever.
Yeah, in South Dakota, you know, especially the winters are long and cold, and you don't have quite the bounty of apples and berries that you have out here, or you know, but
and you want to preserve them, or
or
kind of use them when they're getting a little bit old and so
I guess so. I mean, we with our fruits, we don't necessarily use like seconds or whatever. We always use whatever we get our hands on, you know, because you still want the fruit to be not over. I mean, each fruit has different degrees of like that bakes better when it's at a certain ripening point. You know,
if you're
baking with pears when they're too firm, they're going to be too tough. You know, you need to make sure that you get them right at the right point.
Right, but if they're too soft, then it just becomes like pear
mush. Yeah.
And that's not so good. same thing. Peaches can go be too far, I guess, and then get a little too soupy.
Yeah, I imagine strawberries, which is already kind of mushy, wouldn't be very good.
But then
underripe, it's probably better.
A little underripe.
Yeah. So where do you get your fruit usually?
We source from the farmers market. One of our main sources is Wilklow Orchards.
Oh, I like them.
They're great. They've been amazing, and we're happy to say that we get 100% of our apples from them. Occasionally, in the wintertime, we'll add a little bit of Granny Smith or something like that if they're apples, because they get a bit soft, you know, by this point. But we get all of our apples from them, and then whatever is in season. Albert,
I think that they have ramps every spring, don't they?
They do have ramps. They have rhubarb.
Is that going to be in a pie?
Well, we've done it with quiche, and we'll probably do some with savory pies, yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, like something.
They'll be coming soon,
I think. Have you seen any ramps yet?
I don't know. I was kind of crossing, you know.
Yeah, it's such an early
biting my fingers
right
there.
Yeah, it might be right around the corner if we get enough sun. I guess.
All right. So, great ingredients. What about the crust? Lard or butter? Or... So shortening? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
No.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah. No shortening.
No, yeah. We
No, yeah.
No, yeah. we use all butter.
Okay.
Yeah, no shortening. Lard is good, but we like it in savory pies more than...
Which we just started getting some really great lard from the Meat Hook over in
Leaf lard?
Leaf lard, yeah.
That's a thing.
So we've been blending that with butter for our savory pie crust, the meat pie crust. But for our sweet pie, we do all butter, although our grandmother used lard exclusively.
All lard.
I think we both agree one or the other of those is better than shortening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shortening's tender and flaky, but it doesn't have much flavor.
It doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah, it kind of smells like gasoline, too.
Yeah, it just doesn't really,
A lot of people say that if you make all butter pie crust, it's not going to be as flaky, and that's probably true, but it just tastes so good.
I just ate some.
Yeah, and it holds well.
I mean, this looks flaky to me. Yum.
Yeah, we feel like if you handle it right, you'll get the right result. And we add a little bit of cider vinegar, which gives it a little tang.
I guess.
And a little kind of softens it.
Supposed to like make it relax the glutens, allegedly. But we also just like the way it tastes.
I didn't know that. That's really neat.
Yeah.
I've heard this rumor about putting vodka in your butter crust, too, so it'll aerate somehow the layers.
Same idea.
Well, it evaporates faster.
Oh, yeah.
When it's baking, because it's alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So
vinegar could be used instead of vodka?
It's a similar idea.
So then I won't have to get vodka.
Vinegar's a lot cheaper than vodka, too.
Yes, cider vinegar is
It sounds like it more wholesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we like to put booze in pie, too. But, you know, we've done that.
Tell me about some of those flavors, like something with rum or something?
Well, we have one with Campari that we do in the wintertime. It's a grapefruit custard. And we use a little Campari, so we just cook the Campari off a little bit to, you know, cook off a little bit of the alcohol. And then it's nice because Campari actually has, like, red number something in it.
Red number 40,
So you get a little bit of pink from that, which is fine because it's like a beautiful pink grapefruit custard. Yeah. So with grapefruit juice and... what else? We do a bourbon pear crumble, we put bourbon in a lot of things.
I got this apple pie from you guys, and I'm thinking, apple pie, and I opened up it. I guess it was a salty caramel apple pie.
It
was amazing. It had these like bubbling, kind of like frozen in time bubbles of caramel peeking out from the lattice.
Oh, good.
And it was amazing. It tasted great. And how do you do that? Like, is the caramel produced while it's baking in the oven, or do you make it beforehand and coat it on there? Or
we make it beforehand. Make a butter caramel sauce. It's more of a sauce, and then we just pour it in while we're assembling the pie. Layered in there.
I'm just imagining something magic happening.
It's good. I mean, essentially, it's like adding a bunch of butter and cream to your apple pie.
And sugar.
But
the textures were really nice. It was chewy, and then the apples, and then the crust. Oh, that was a good one, guys.
Yeah, that's our most popular.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Man.
And it's the caramel sweetens it. You don't really add a lot of extra sugar beyond that. Because apples are, especially when they're ripe, they're pretty sweet already, so
you want that tartness,
too much spice either.
Yeah,
we keep it pretty subtle on the cinnamon and the nutmeg. Yeah.
You guys are so ahead of the curve with pies. It's like kind of really blows my mind. I'm not really sure what to ask next because I'm not there yet. I'm like down here, and you guys are like there. Anyway, but you've started this company all of 2 years ago only.
We did a year of work from home, working together, and she moved here and we had the idea to do something together, and pie, we were doing a lot of tarts too, a lot of fruit tarts, and
You're just kind of making it for like friends or
yourselves? Friends. We'd get some food styling gigs here and there. Yeah,
Thanksgiving.
We were really encouraged by some close friends who, you know, were like, you should do it. And we had looked at a space early on. That was like early 2009, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're like, we need to figure this out before we like just jump into it. Because we're not trained pastry chefs.
Yeah.
We don't come from, just having grown up in the restaurant and having worked in the industry.
So you guys are real like hobbyists, like passionate.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Cooks turned business.
I mean, I studied art and she studied finance. So it's like the kind of.
Wow.
Came from, you know, both creative, I guess, things, but not like that hard training in the kitchen where you're like, you know, fine dining or
yeah, it was a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
So that's really inspiring.
Yeah, when we opened.
Hey, yeah. I mean, did your grandma, you didn't go to culinary school, right?
No. She didn't.
You go.
She like raised her brothers and sisters, you know, then raised her own
and
kids.
And then made pies.
Yeah.
When you said your friends encouraged you, were you also inspired by like just other success stories of like small food businesses
definitely
there was and still is a lot of that happening here.
You know, like Edible Magazine does great profiles on people. I remember like years ago reading stuff and thinking about, oh, you know, it feels like I felt like I mean, I've been in Brooklyn like 12 years and I don't think I would have wasn't that interested in food stuff when I was first here, but I feel like there's such a fostering of it in our communities here, you know, people that are interested in independent food producers working with stuff that's local and good, and you know, obviously here at Roberta's, and so I feel like it was an opportune time.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that fell in line with your pie making anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, we knew we wanted to start something. We've always talked about starting a business together, but we didn't really know what we wanted to do, and we were always like, we're not going to do food. We're not going to do food.
Did you know it was going to be in Brooklyn too?
No, because we never lived together. I moved here 3 years ago.
She was traveling all over.
Yeah. And then we started the business, I guess, right away. Like the day I moved here, we started making pie.
Well, you weren't finding work yet either.
Yeah. No, I was working part time, but.
Yeah, it was a bad time for jobs. I mean, I had a full time job, but. And I had helped start this nonprofit artist studio space near where the pie shop is.
Oh, the Gowanus studio space.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is still going. And we were privy to the area needing a coffee shop and needing some, you know, that it was kind of...
Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, because it's a bit off the beaten path, but it's changing fast. And, you know, there's supposedly a Whole Foods coming in, which is one thing that will change the dynamic of the area a little bit. But I think it's all... positive. There's been some cool stuff opening up.
Right.
Yeah. We really identify with that neighborhood and being a neighborhood place.
Mm-hmm. And do you live in the neighborhood too? Or
actually, we live in Crown Heights, but not far.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's where I am.
Yeah. Too. Oh, you are in Crown Heights? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
So congratulations on the 2 years.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
How's it been? Like, are you guys exhausted? Are you celebrating? Are you like nervous?
Actually, we finally have some time to breathe, I feel now.
Good. Yeah.
After the first year and a half. Were pretty intense.
Yeah. And, it sounds like you guys had to totally gut the corner.
The renovation, shop. You know, quick. We did that with the help of some amazingly talented friends that, like, we couldn't have done it without them. That was a lot, and then right into opening, and also, you know, you're kind of going on adrenaline because it was the first thing we've ever done, and we, you know, you make blind decisions because you don't know but it's good. And then our first holiday season was really intense because Thanksgiving is really big for us with pies, so, and then getting through that, and then so we've been through two holiday seasons.
You know, broken into the filling part of the pie. With my hands. That's not very classy. Well, the place looks great and the pies are really good. I'm going to eat this bite while we go into a little musical break.
All right.
And we'll be right back with 420 Blackbirds after this.
Make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie. Yeah.
program has been brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery. Kane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.kane5.com.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In with Emily and Meredith, Melissa Elson of 420 Blackbirds. I'm so glad that you guys let me put that song on. Thank you.
It's cool. I don't. That was good.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Okay. I like it.
Yeah, it should be blasting in the store all the time. And I was just saying this cranberry pie tastes almost like cherry pie. And we're talking a little bit about how to make sure that you have great ingredients year round when you don't have cherries year round, and I'm really looking forward to when they're coming. But
yeah, it's fast and furious. You know, they're like, because it's so much work. Cherries, fresh cherries,
there are a lot of.
And then they're gone. It's like boom.
Yeah.
So, and sour. But we're always kind of. We're like, oh shoot, cherry season's over again. No, we love it, but it's so much work.
Yeah.
They're so.
You have to pit them.
You have to pit them all.
And
we have all these crazy contraptions for pit, like all these different tools we bought, but nothing really works better than the little handheld one.
Yeah, the little punch, one punch.
Yeah.
Oh, I just use my hands and go.
Yeah, you can do
mangle
that.
Or the cherries.
Knife. Yeah, that works too.
And get the juices all over.
Yeah.
Staining me.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are difficult. Now I'm gonna really thank you guys when I eat a cherry pie very much. But you guys were saying you're trying to get more creative with the winter ingredients, and we're on the last legs of that, hopefully.
Yeah, but we'll do some spring custards now, and then and the cream pies that we've been doing.
What is a spring custard actually?
Well, like just we do a lot of chess pies and a lot of custard pies, so we'll do something probably herbal and kind of light.
What is a chess pie?
Chess pie is essentially a southern word for custard.
Oh, okay,
but it's like yeah. I mean, I guess that's it. There's a lot of things written about it, but it's just like a shortened way of saying like it's just pie. But
it's a cream pie. Yeah.
Well, it's very much just eggs,
it's
sugar,
like a staples.
Yeah, like a pantry staples kind of pie. So
like a key lime pie would be a chess pie.
Key lime is made with condensed milk.
Yeah, which is kind of, I mean, it's a sweetener. It's a similar idea, but yeah, you're doing like sugar, eggs, cream, and then something else.
By the way, I'm so excited, but we're gonna show Emily and Melissa's salty honey pie alongside Steve's key lime pies weekend at Beer for Beasts, the 6 Point and Beer Advocate fundraiser event at the Bell House.
Yeah,
you should check it out.
Fun.
Yeah.
So salty honey is based on a chess pie recipe, actually. So it's
great. I'm excited to try them too.
Yeah, it's sweet and salty.
Yeah, it's rich. It's a hit.
It's not for the faint of heart, that one.
So we've got salty honey pie. You have a salty caramel apple pie. And salty trends in all sorts of sweets, brownies to ice cream.
Seems to
be going strong.
Yeah, it's good. I think it marries particularly well with pie because pie has a savory element already.
Cuts at the crust.
The crust is so hearty, yeah. So, I mean, you put a little salt in your crust when you're making it, but finishing it with sea salt is nice. And we've been experimenting a little bit with smoked salts, but I haven't quite gotten that yet.
The classic apple pie and cheddar cheese combination is that whole that's an old
Midwest, right? Something?
yeah like for you can have it for lunch,
savory and sweet, yeah.
So I know you have a lot of savory pies too. What are you most looking forward to with the summer coming up? Some flavors, any new flavors that you're looking forward to trying, maybe? Combinations and so forth up your sleeves?
Well, we tend to kind of base it on what's happening with the fruit, like whatever is coming through that's local, that's from Albert at Wilklow or whatever. So we might, we have our classic things like strawberry balsamic is really popular, and trying to think rhubarb we love rhubarb, we grew up in rhubarb country.
made a rhubarb mint jam and it was delightful.
That's a good idea, that could
be fun.
So we do a lot of rhubarb, and then
I'd like to
berries.
Work a little more with like our we tend to just do the fruit pies straight, but yeah. this year maybe we'll put a little more like yeah. lemon verbena or something in some of them.
Yeah,
oh,
some of
those herbs that we are growing in our mm. window boxes.
And yeah, tell me about those herbs on the window boxes, because I remember last summer they were like spilling over and they're like yeah. so lush and all over the place. And
they're great. We have an amazing neighbor named Frida Lim, and she has a rooftop farm essentially called Slippery Slope on her roof of her house. And she, I think she approached us and she's like, what are you doing with those window boxes? When they were just hanging there empty.
Sounds like, right.
They probably would have stayed like, that way, like, if I'm gonna, for her.
Yeah. So she does this sub-irrigated planting, which is a water channel in the bottom, so it keeps it light, and they grow so hardy, like, you know, like
even the ones that are like in the sun all day.
And it's just this shallow, sun. Right. As long it's as just this shallow window box.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we get, you know, we can produce not you know, all the herbs that we need from those little boxes, but we do get a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And then Frida gives us herbs,
and then she supplements because she's got tons.
She's constantly coming over and telling us to come pick stuff from her, you know, greens.
Well, it definitely beautifies the corner space. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we could do more probably, but, you know, it's been great, and I'm very impressed with that method of planting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks great, and I guess it tastes good, too.
Yeah,
the pies.
It's good. It's handy, you know.
Any concerns about, like, people stealing your I don't know, lemon verbena?
Fortunately, we haven't had that problem.
Okay.
You know, and really, I thought maybe people would put trash in them, or you know, but people are pretty respectful, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't really had any.
And there's also, you know, people there most hours of the day.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
if you
know
somebody wants a little lemon verbena, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a pie shop. I mean, why would anyone complain about that?
Yeah.
So a friend, I tweeted when you guys were coming on today, and a friend asked if you guys are ever going to have classes on pie making in the space.
You know, we've talked about that a lot, and we haven't gotten around to it.
But
We would like to, for sure. And we're working on a cookbook right now. So
awesome.
Like, maybe once that's kind of, when that comes out, especially, I think we'd like to do some, you know, stuff while we can.
In conjunction with it.
Yeah,
I bet that would be a good event.
Yeah, we
don't
have the technique.
Yeah, it's definitely something we've always wanted to do. It's just a time thing.
Yeah, so.
It's not that you don't want to share your secrets about this.
No.
We did teach one class up at the Whitney.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. That's right.
We did an event up there.
Chris, the chef there, Chris Bradley, who's really amazing to us, and so he serves our pie in his
at the Whitney?
At the Whitney at Untitled, which is awesome.
That's
great.
Insane. Wow.
Check it out. So Chris, and he lives in Gowanus, and he invited us to come do a pie making demo at the Whitney, which was a lot of fun. So he made like an amazing breakfast, and people got to have breakfast and watch pie making.
And it's all just because of like a neighborly connection.
Yeah, he's great.
Totally.
He's great about that's, you know.
But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
teaching, I bet you guys would be good at teaching.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want
it. Where I leave off, she picks up.
Yeah, we've had to teach.
I've already learned so much.
Yeah, we do it. I mean, we've been making pie every day.
Yeah, well,
a while.
I realized.
So, like, all of a sudden, it's like all we do is make pie.
Sorry.
And do some
it's
emails.
Good. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. The lattice crust, I like how it's charmingly irregular, and it's also really big. Is that kind of like because it's really painstaking work, so bigger means less layer?
For production purposes, we narrowed it down to six lattice.
You could
do like 20 if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, you could do like a really fine weave. You could do so much with pie crust.
Yeah. But for the ease.
And it bakes well. We found that was pretty consistent.
Yeah.
You know, because you want a little vent for the
filling. It doesn't spill over too much either, but it spills over just enough that you can see this little fruit peeking out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some, I think, you know, like the strawberry is really juicy. That one spills a little bit more.
Yeah.
It depends on the fruit.
Yeah, this one's not. Yeah. This isn't a very juicy pie. It's pretty
It's actually pretty
jammy
rich
in there.
Jammy, yeah. But
what's your favorite pie to make?
Hmm.
You're like, none. Okay. Never mind. Okay,
no,
how about...
I like working with fruit in season.
When
it's fruit season, I'm excited to make pie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little bored in the wintertime, admittedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like working with fresh fruit.
So, this doesn't have to relate to pies, but it could. But what would you say is the ultimate date meal of your imagination?
Ultimate date meal?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, I don't know.
I guess that depends.
It depends on the season. If it's winter time, I want stew. I want something.
Stew?
Yeah, like something like some sort of like stewed meat or something like that.
Like a hearty beef stew of some sort?
Yeah, but in the summertime, like, I don't know, grilling.
Yeah. I like whole fish.
Whole fish?
Yeah.
Because you get to share it? Or
yeah, that's going to be good. And like seafood, like a lot of seafood. Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Sounds like you guys have slightly different tastes here.
We do. I like that though too. A good steak with a lot of garlic and like herbs would be good.
Yeah.
So does Melissa do all the savory pies then? The beef or then? You do.
No, we kind of balance it. I like what we're, you know, we're both.
Yeah. Actually, Emily's a better cook than me.
Oh.
She is, but
who made this pie?
I'm always the one
I'll be the judge of this.
Pulling the pasta maker out at midnight, fresh pasta.
Well, obviously you guys are doing great working together. And do you think that that's something inspired by your mom and her aunt and your aunts, I guess?
Definitely. And our father's a farmer. So, you know, growing up in where food is really very much our livelihood. I mean, our mom and sisters sold their restaurant, I think, when I was 18 or something.
Yeah, I was still in high school.
But they had it for like 15 years. You
15
know?
Years.
They raised their family. I mean, you know, they all have there's a lot of girls in our family and we all worked there. So it was very much a part of our upbringing and what we did. So I don't think that we would have been able to, you know, just go head first into opening some kind of food business without having that experience and understanding of, and advice and support from our parents too, you know, like, even though they're like, it's in Brooklyn, like, how do we, like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not South Dakota. It's
Are they disappointed that you didn't start it over in South Dakota, or?
No, I don't think so.
No, they're like, we have plenty of pies here, thank you.
Yeah, I think they're excited for it.
Well,
to be here.
I'm sure they must be very proud of your success so far, and I'm looking forward to the book, too. When will that come out?
It will be 2013.
All right.
It's the fall, probably.
Any name yet? 420?
Probably just Pie. 420 Blackbirds.
Blackbirds, the Pie Bible of some sort?
Sort of. I mean, we're not going to do every single pie that could ever be made. It's going to be
the way we've been doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some really great books that are really comprehensive about pie books. You know, but what we're doing is seasonal, obviously, because that's the way we work. It's basically like a year at the pie shop.
Oh, okay.
But like, with some more experimental things.
Yeah, clever.
You know,
recipes.
Like we're probably working with some foraged stuff, trying to, kind of our take, basically the way we make pie.
Right. And
the way
and your homegrown.
Accessible. Yeah, exactly. Using what you have and getting a little experimental with it. And, you know, because I've said this before, but like, pretty much any kind of pie that you could think of has been tried, like by some farm wife or some, you know, there's a huge history of, I mean, everything's been done really, but updating it and like, you know, doing different takes on it and different using techniques and refining them and coming up with new things has sort of always been our approach to pie making is like, what is there to do now? Like,
so this is the next frontier of pie making.
Yes, there you go.
That should be the title. I'm really good at titles here. Yeah.
New frontiers.
All right. I'm looking forward to seeing that, guys.
Yeah,
all right. So now that I came up with your book, I think that's about all the time we have. So thanks again. Check out 420 Blackbirds. It's in Gowanus. It's on 4th Ave. And what's that?
It's on 3rd.
It's on 3rd Ave. Check it out. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. You know a man can crawl when he knows he's telling lies and he hears them passing by. He's not a man. Be
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.